You may be seated. Thank you so much, Pastor Rick. What a privilege for Stephanie and I to be here today. It's a treat for us. It's an honor to be here today. And I do want to thank you on behalf of the Hispanic community in Pittsburgh, really, because ever since we came to Pittsburgh, you have invested in us financially. And so today we have three campuses, and two of those campuses we own flat out. We don't have any debt. We have beautiful buildings, parking location. We have everything. And I believe that what you have sown, you're going to reap too. We're believing that you're going to get your own building. It's going to be a great location, big land, big everything, just the way that you have dreamed of. And that's a law. The Bible says that you reap what you sow. And we are a testimony of what you have sown. And for that, we're very thankful. You know, one of the indications that this is going to happen is, to me, here's was an indication to me as a pastor. People have started to give. And then when I saw these people giving, even this church began to give. They said, this is going to happen. Yes, you know what? And it happened. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe you should be part of the, be a sign yourself. You know, that was a sign to me when people began to give. So, I got really excited when Pastor Nick said to me, we are on a series on the book of Revelation. And the reason for that is that the book of Revelation is very dear to me. It's one of, I would say, probably my favorite book of the Bible. And here's one of the reasons, and I put it up on the screen, is Revelation 1:3. This is the only book in the whole Bible that promises you this. There is no other book in the whole Bible. It says, blessed is he who reads, those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it. There is no other book in the whole Bible that promises you that if you read it, you hear it, and you keep it, you will be blessed. And for some reason, this is the book that the church reads, hears, and keeps the least. People are afraid, you know, this book of Revelation is all, the end time is so weird, where it's mysterious, you know. And I think that's a lie of the devil, really, because the devil wants to keep you from being blessed, because it's so simple. I mean, God is not in the business of making anybody confused or is scaring anybody. Right. So he didn't write the book of Revelation to scare us. He gave it to us to bless us. It says it right here. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words. So today we're going to read the word. You're going to hear the word. And then it's on you to keep the word. And if you do that, the Bible says you will be blessed. And with you, your marriage, your kids, your ministries, your business, everything is going to be blessed. So we are today addressing the letter to the church in Sardis. And Sardis is now a day Western Turkey. And Sardis was a city located in a privileged position because the enemies, back in those days, cities had walls to keep the enemies out, but Sardis didn't need walls because it was on a high location surrounded by cliffs that were very steep, and it was very difficult to penetrate the city. So they slept at night, really, with a lot of confidence, knowing that their position would keep them safe. Except that there was one secret passage that only people from the city knew. And through something that happened one day when a soldier actually was walking around the edge of the city and dropped a helmet and had to climb down and get back into the city through that little secret passage, the enemy, back in the day, that was in 545 BC, the Persians saw that. And they said, oh, look at how he got down, got the helmet, and got back in. It seems like there is a, you know, that night, the Persian army got in. while they were all sleeping and they were feeling safe because of their position. And when the day, you know, when the sun was up the next morning, the whole city was taken over by the Persians. This happened again. In 200 years later, the Greeks also took over the city. Same exact situation. They were not watching. They were falling. They had fallen asleep, and they felt safe. Again, the enemy took the city. 200 years after that, Jesus writes this letter to the church in Sardis, and he says, be watchful. You know, because he knew the past. He knew the history of the whole city. But somehow the church was now also falling asleep. And the enemy had crept into the church. And so he said, we're not reading in a few moments. Be watchful. But here is a little graphic of how we get to Sardis. Because really, Sardis is the fifth letter of seven letters in the book of Revelation. And it all begins with Ephesus, that is a church that is neither hot nor cold. And so, and they had lost their first love. That's what it says. So when your love grows cold, fear gains influence in your life. Because the way that fear stays out of your life is to stay connected to your first love. You got to stay in love with Jesus. Amen. And that closeness, that love, it brings you security, safety, like a baby. You know, like when that baby is surrounded by the arms of mom and dad, that baby feels safe. But when that grows cold, then fear creeps in. And then compromise looks attractive. And then that opens the door to corruption. And then corruption left unaddressed long enough produces exactly what we find in Sardis, which is a church with plenty of activity in the outside, on the outside, but in the inside is dead. This is the what Jesus says. So Revelation 3, 1 through 6, I'll read the whole letter to Sardis now, says this. We read it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach us your word. It says, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. And now, notice how this is addressed to the church by the one who has the seven spirits of God, which means the fullness of the Holy Spirit is addressing the situation. This situation for the church of Sardis was so bad that only the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit could rescue the situation. Other churches, you know, were addressed by the one who had eyes like flaming fires, like the one who walked among the candles. But this one was addressed by the one, by, it says, this thing says, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So Jesus looks at the actual condition of the church spiritually, not their reputation, not what people say, not what people think, but what he sees in the inside. And look at this. In the 3:1, it says, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. So what did, according to Jesus, what did they have? They had a name. What is a name? A name back then was as important as it is today. A name is your reputation. It's how people know you. So this church had a reputation. I'm sure that people knew this church as a hot church. Programs, they had meetings, they had events. They looked good in the outside. I'm sure that if Sardis was around today, they would have a ton of Instagram followers because they had a name. People knew about them. And that was wonderful. So, and notice that it says that Jesus says, I know your works. So the problem was not idleness or the fact that they had a name. They had a lot of things going. But the problem was that even though they look good in the outside, they were dead inside. And there are many churches, many ministries, there are many marriages in our churches that look good in the inside, in the outside, but they are dead in the inside. And so, and this applies to so many things. And God is going to speak to you about some things today that I believe are going to be a big blessing for all of us. But the point here that Jesus is making is that they were doing a lot, but inside they were dead. So now Jesus is not opposed to us doing a lot. He wants us to work. He wants us to do acts of, you know, justice, the righteousness the Bible says. But there is a difference between what the Bible calls dead works and acts of righteousness. So dead works are acts done by habit rather than love. And there are a lot of things in our lives, even us coming to church. Sometimes we just come because of habit instead of love. Or service rendered under pressure rather than by faith. So, you know, I mean, and God is looking for people that don't have to be pressured. They just have faith and they want to serve willingly. You know, but the Bible says that people who do things because of pressure, that is dead works. Obligations fulfilled out of duty rather than delight. You know, I believe that with all my heart, I saw delight today on the stage. You know, all these guys singing here, they were happy to be here. I didn't see anybody like, oh, man, I have to be here. I have to sing again. 3 services. I got here at 6:30 in the morning, you know. Delight. This is what God wants. God wants you to delight, to be happy, to enjoy what you're doing. And so here is what dead works really means. It's this. It's simple. Dead works is anything you do for Jesus disconnected of Jesus. So there are a lot of things that we do, you know, because of duty, obligation, or pressure, whatever. You know, and those are dead works. And Jesus said, I want you to do for me something while you are connected to me, while we are walking together, while we are enjoying being in the room and doing something for the kingdom, strengthening the church. So there are a lot of situations, churches and people, and Sardis was one of those that looked good on the outside, but on the inside, those are the words of Jesus, is dead. So a contractor is called out to a house that looks fine from every room. He walks in the room, the paint is fresh, the floors are leveled, the doors close properly, without sticking, without a single creak. And he's only there because the homeowner says this. You know, this house looks wonderful from the inside. We love living here. This is beautiful. But sometimes, this smelling here. We just don't know. I mean, we cleaned everything. Something smells here. So here's what the contractor does. He opens one section of drywall in the hallway just to check. Behind it, he finds a support beam soaked through and soft, dark with rot that has been spreading for years behind a wall no one ever had reason to open. The house never announced that anything was wrong. It kept standing. It kept looking finished, freshly painted, structurally sound, right up until the moment that somebody looked behind the wall. See, the wall never lied. It just never told the whole truth. And Jesus is looking at the whole truth. Jesus is looking in, and he was looking at Sardis and saying, you guys look so good on the outside, but in the inside, there is something rotten. There is something that is not right. As a matter of fact, this is so grave, so bad, that here is what I call it, is dead. And you need the fullness of the Spirit to fix this situation here. Matthew 7, 22 and 23 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness or dead works. Everything that you did was disconnected from me. You didn't do it in my power. You didn't do it through my direction. I didn't ask you to do that, you know. You did it because you thought it was your strategy. It would work out or something. And through all this, Jesus is inviting us to, you know what, let's do this together. I want to be a part of this. I don't want you to do this on your strength. I want you and me to work together, to do it together. But Sardis had walked away from that. We're looking at the book of Revelation, and this is one of the situations that was going on now in the church in Sardis. So for us here in Pittsburgh today, some of us are living from our history. You know, maybe you are known as the religious guy or the Jesus guy in your family, in your block, you know, the one that goes to church, the one that serves. But people know you like that. But you know, in the inside, that fire that used to be there is not there anymore. People might think so, but you know that some things are different now. So does your private life with God actually support the public reputation people see? Does it match? And that's what we want to talk about today. That's the biggest point here today, I think. So now Jesus says, this is the big problem that you have. Sardis was in the inside, doesn't match the outside. And we have to work on that. Let's work on that, Jesus says. So then he writes verses 2 and 3. And here it gives you 5 stacked situations, five things that you have to do to address this. Because in the end, Jesus is not in the business of just saying you are dead and you are hopeless. He wants you to get out of that situation, to come back to life, to be the church that he dreamed of, the church that he's going to marry. And so he says, here is the first thing you have to do. Be watchful. Number one. Be watchful, especially to a church that was in a city that twice had fallen to, you know, the enemy. Be watchful. So in other words, you know, don't fall asleep. See, you know, because the one that falls asleep is unaware of what's going on. You know, when you sleep, you don't know what's going on. You're sleeping, right? And so he says, wake up, be watchful. Don't be like Sardis that was caught twice by the enemy in the middle of the night, sleeping while they thought they were in good shape. And that's the big problem with many of us, that we think we're fine when in fact we are unaware that there are things inside of us that are not where they used to be or where they should be. And so he says, strengthen the things which remain. So number one, be watchful. Number two, strengthen the things which remain. So it's not all hopeless. Something remains. There's something there. There's something there that it still has. If we just work with that, you know, we can do something. So it's like, you know, like a marriage, for example, that looks good in the outside, but in the inside, it's falling apart, but there is still something that remains. You know, let's work on that. Maybe it's a relationship with your kids. Maybe it's your relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's your passion for ministry. There is something that remains. There is a reason why you're here today. You know, and God looks at the fact that you're here today and says, you know, that man, that woman, in that family, something remains. And I want to strengthen that. Then it says, remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. So you got to remember. You know, remembering is a good thing. You know, do you remember? Like, for example, whenever I get the opportunity to counsel some couples, sometimes I will just ask this question, you know. They're fighting, they're hitting on each other, and they're saying, you know, it's his fault, her fault. And I say, what is it that at the beginning it attracted you to her or to him? And they start talking, yeah, oh, well, you know. Oh, wow, that was the best legs I ever seen. You know, oh, this guy, man, he paid for every meal, you know, I opened the door. You know, I said, well, why don't you guys go back to remember that and strengthen that. Do it again. And it's like, you know, it's so simple, you know, and Jesus gives us that formula here. He says, you know, be watchful, strengthen, remember. And he says, hold fast and repent. So hold fast means, you know what, sometimes you have to get a grip of things and hold on to what God has given you because the enemy is trying to take it from you, steal it from you. The world doesn't want you to hold on to Jesus. And the Bible says, and Jesus says, hold fast. You know, I mean, it's on you. You have to do it. And then it says, repent. What does it mean to repent? Repent, it means, it's simple. It means, I agree with Jesus, and I'm going to do it his way. You know, I was doing it my way. I'm going to just turn around, and I'm going to walk in the direction Jesus is asking me to go, and I'm going to agree with Jesus. I am going to stop doing it my way. I'm going to do it Jesus' way. And that's repent. Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, five commands, you know. And what does that mean today for us? Well, maybe, you know, your prayer life has grown cold. And you need to strengthen that today. Something has to be improved. Something has to be strengthened in your life today. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a relationship with your kids. Maybe it's the excitement of being involved in church. You know, I don't know, but this happens in many churches. You know, I remember I've seen a few people that when they get their first invitation to serve, they are like, yeah, I'm part of the team. I'm on Sunday, man. I'm going to be the usher. I'm going to be cleaning. I'm going to be doing something, you know. And then a few months later, it's like, I'm part of the team. Come on. What is this planning center stuff, you know? Planning center. What is this app, you know? Get this stuff out of my phone. And so now I want you to imagine a campfire late at night. You know, the flames are gone. What's left looks, you know, when you look at it, it's just gray ash, cold, spent, finished. But then you kneel by the fire and you start blowing on it. And you discover that behind those ashes, there's still embers. And if you keep blowing on it, there will be a fire again. Yeah. You know, and this is exactly what Jesus is telling Sardis. And this is exactly what Jesus is telling us today. We cannot afford to become like Sardis. And so we have to keep on doing, you know, what the Bible is telling us to do. We need to get that flame on fire again. Even if you have a little bit of left in you, just blow on it, work on what remains, because there is hope. And if we all do that, forget it. There is no telling what the Lord is going to do through us here at Bridge City Church. It's going to be, give God, a hand. Let's do it. Hallelujah. So 1 Thessalonians, I want to go to that scripture now. 1 Thessalonians 5:5-6 says, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do." Wow. So, and this is talking to sons, to daughters, to people that are in church. So, according to Jesus, according to the Bible, even us who are in church, even us who are children of God, can fall asleep, can be unaware of what's going on, can be unaware of there's something that is not the way it's supposed to be, and the enemy is creeping in. So he says, do not fall asleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Wow. Now I'll go straight to Revelation 3:4, where it says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, there are a few names who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Wow. And notice what it says there. It says, there are a few names. Listen to me. Jesus is about names. He knows names. He doesn't say, there is 33% in Sardis. There is, one section of people. He says, there are names in Sardis that have not defiled their garments. There are still people that I know by name that are on fire, that are ready to go, that are the church I want to marry. There are still some. And so, when it comes to, listen to this. I don't know about you, but I prefer to be a part of the few than a part of the many. So, I want to be a part of the few that Jesus knows my name and that it's like, he knows he can count on me. So I don't have to be like everybody else. Even if they are the majority, I prefer to be the minority. Because there is always a remnant. That's the word the Bible uses, the remnant that Jesus works with. So the majority condition of the church did not determine the faithfulness of the remnant. Wow. And this matters a lot to us today. He knows. Wow. It's unbelievable that Jesus knows names, that he knows your name, that he knows my name. It's like, have you been to those graduations? Where maybe your cousin, your children graduate high school, The whole auditorium is packed. They're calling names, and they walk across the platform. They get their diploma, When they mention that name of the person that a few people clap, And then they call the other name. Well, behind that stage, there was somebody who checked out that list and said, these are the names we're going to call. These are the names that get the diploma because they walked the walk. They did the homework. They did everything that was required of them. And because of that, we're proud to call their names. Right. Man, I'm telling you, Jesus knows names. And he says, things may look bad. Even in the United States, even in America, things look bad, honestly, we're not part of the majority. I don't want to be a part of the majority, I want to be, I'll be part of the minority until Jesus comes back or he takes me home or I die for him, whatever happens. And Jesus is saying, I know people in Sardis that have that kind of spirit. So, and he's calling on us today. Revelation 19:7-8, and I'm going to ask the musicians, please come and help me out here as we close this service today. Revelation 19:7-8 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Now, notice this. The marriage of the Lamb, Jesus will not marry the church until the wife has made herself ready. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Let me ask you a question. Are you on fire? Let me ask you a question. Does what people think of you in the outside, does what's inside of you matches what people think of you in the outside? Or are you Sardis today? Are you like, you know, you have a name, you have a reputation, people know you as this great marriage, this great person, this great, but in the inside, there is death. It's a tough word, but that's what, as a matter of fact, it's so tough. I believe this is one of the hardest letters out of the seven, and this is why Jesus comes and says, you know what, I'm talking to you as the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can help this situation here. So to whom he overcomes, he promises, number one, that he will be clothed in garments, white garments. He promises, number two, I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Which begs the question, I will not blot out the name of the book of life? What do you mean? You mean it can be blot out? Well, that's what it says here. But if you overcome, how do you overcome? How do you overcome death in the inside that does not match the outside? Five things. We went over verses 2 and 3. Be watchful. Strengthen what remains. Hold fast. Repent. This is all, you know, this really starts with a prayer. It's only one prayer away. So today I want to invite three groups of people here today. Those who recognize that their reputation and their spiritual reality no longer agrees. You don't want to live like that. You don't want to live like that. You know, you don't want to be faking it. You want to be like, when you smile because, you know, you feel like smiling. You love to smile. I'm here. I'm loving this. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying myself here. This is great. You know, I cannot believe that I get to do this. What an opportunity. You know? Wow. I could be like one of those people right now hoping to catch a fish. All day there. All day long. Nothing. No, I'm doing much better than that. I'm preaching the gospel. So, you know, this is what you want. Second group is those who know something living still remains in them. But it must be strengthened before it dies. So maybe your hand, you say, you know what? It's true. It's something that is still, I still feel a little passionate about this. I feel a little excited about my marriage. You know, let's strengthen what remains today. And those who have remained faithful but need fresh grace to keep walking with Jesus. You gotta be in one of those three groups. God is talking to you today. Whatever group you are in, the invitation is the same. Just ask Jesus. Just come into my life right now. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes. A few moments. We're all over the time already, so Pastor Rick is going to come in a few moments here. So, come on. Come on, church. say this. Lord Jesus, I ask you today, strengthen what remains. Set me on fire. Help me to follow you with passion. I want to be ready. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, take a few moments to thank him. Thank you. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the word. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for making me part of the team. Thank you, Lord. Amen.